We're going to start today at the top of Samach Alpha and Aleph, about six lines down by Bishlomo the Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara now is continuing to discuss the machlokos between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. They argue in two situations, one about the Mizbeach and the Choshet, and the other one about the Mizbeach of Shlomo Melech. In both of these machlokot, one of them takes a position that Dvarim Kichtavam, that the psukim should be taken literally, and the other one argues that you can't take the psukim literally, and therefore offers up an alternative. So the Gemara now is going to continue to discuss this machlokas according to which of them does it work better. We're going back to the machlokas about Shlomo HaMelech, whether they literally changed over the Mizbeach or they didn't change over the Mizbeach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, literally they were Mekadesh the Chatzer because the Mizbeach could not hold the amount that was required on that day. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi believed that they just put the Mizbeach and the Choshet out of service, but the Mizbeach of Shlomo remained in service and they were never really Mekadesh the Chatzer. It was as if they were Mekadesh the Chatzer because they used this much bigger Mizbeach compared to the old Mizbeach and the Choshet. So the Gemara says, now Bishlomo Rabbi Yehuda Hainu Dichtiv Kidesh. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it makes sense that the Pasuk says by Shlomo that he was Mekadesh the floor of the Chatzer. Elo Rabbi Yossi, my Kidesh. Why does it say that he was Mekadesh the floor of the Azarah? It says, Lahamid ba Mizbeach. No, that's what it was. He meant he was Mekadesh the Azara in order to make it ro'oi to accept the Mizbeach in that area. It wasn't that he literally was Mekadesh the Azara itself. He was Mekadesh the Azara, so that now it was ro'oi for a Mizbeach. So Bishlomo the Rabbi Yossi Anu Dichtiv Katon. That's when it says it was too small. So that's why, according to Rabbi Yossi, it makes sense that they called the Mizbeach too small. They're talking about the copper Mizbeach. Mizbeach Nechoshe Moshe is too small. And therefore they put into service the Mizbeach of Shlomo that covered all this ground. But Elo Rabbi Yehuda, my Katan. What do you mean Katan? Why is the Mizbeach HaChoshet any smaller than the Mizbeach HaShlomo? We said about the Mizbeach HaChoshet it couldn't handle all the korbanot. And we also just said about Shlomo's Mizbeach it couldn't handle all the korbanot. That's why it was been Mekadesh the Azara. So my Katan, what does it mean it's smaller? So Achi Kamar Mizbeach HaVanim Shasa Shlomo Tachat Mizbeach HaNechoshet. Mizbeach HaVanim that Shlomo made in place of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. Not literally the Mizbeach HaChoshet, but in place of the Mizbeach HaChoshet. Katan Avo, it was too small. So the Katan is referencing or modifying Shlomo's Mizbeach and not the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. Because the Mizbeach Shlomo, which replaces the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, is now like the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. And Katan Ava, it was too small. But my plegay, what do they argue about? Mar Saber Dani Mechutz Mechutz, Vein Dani Mechutz Mepnim. Or Mar Saber Dani Kli Mekli, Vein Dani Kli Mebinyan. Mar Saber Dani Mechutz Mechutz, Vein Dani Mechutz Mepnim. That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, let's learn out. We learn out from the Mizbeach HaChitzon by Yechezkel to our Mizbeach HaChitzon over here. We're not going to learn about the Mizbeach and the Choshet, the Mizbeach of Anim, and the time of Shlomo from the Mizbeach of Zahav. Those are two different categories. Rabbi Yossi believes you learn Kli from Kli. You learn the Kli, which is the Mizbeach and the Choshet, from a Kli from the Mizbeach of Zahav. And not going to learn from the Ariel in mentioned Yechezkel, which is part of the Binyan. It's not called the Kli anymore there. It's called the Binyan over there. So it makes sense to learn from one Kli to the other, but not Kli from the Binyan. So now, Amar Rava, and this is what we were looking for all along, Amar Rava, Mode Rabbi Yehuda Bidamim. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees when it comes to the matnot dam. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosech Arayam Malay Midam Atarovet, when it came to the Korbanei Pesach, there were so many korbanot that were brought, they were afraid that some of the dam, or one of the animals didn't have their dam be splashed on the Mizbeach, Shvicha Achat, onto the Mizbeach, or Zrika Achat, depending whose opinion, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Agli. But anyway, he used to take a cup, scoop up Midam Atarovet, all the blood that was on the floor of the Azarai, scooped up a cup full of it, the Shofchol, Gabi Mizbeach, and then he pours it onto the Mizbeach, Jemish Poch, Damosh Alachamehem, if the blood in the receptacle of one of them spilled and then didn't end up in Mizbeach. Nim says, Makshiro, this cup will help him be Makshirit. If you think Rabbi Yehuda believes that the whole Azara was Nitkadesh for Karbanot, the mitzvah is done. The blood already fell on Mizbeach. The Azara, the floor of Azara is like the Mizbeach, and it fell on there, and you're fine. It says, maybe because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the only time it's counted as a Shvicha is actually if a human being, through his own power and volition, pours the Dam. But the Dam ends up there by itself, within a passive way, without any help. That's not what we're talking about. So Gemara says, okay, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right that he has to get it, that Rabbi Yehuda believes that you actually need a human being to pour the blood. That's why when it spilled on the floor, it was no good. But let him say, what do you do? Pick it up, scoop up the blood in the cup, and pour it right back down where you're standing. Why are you taking it over to the Mizbeach? So Gemara says, if he poured it on the spot, it would have been fine. Because that area is classified as being Mizbeach according to Rabbi Yehuda. Nevertheless, if we have a choice between doing it on the floor of the Azara on the top of the Mizbeach, we're going to pick the top of the Mizbeach. That's a mitzvah in Merufkar. That's the best way to do the mitzvah. And this is what is meant before when Rava said, just like Rabbi Yehuda says, that it doesn't apply by Damim, so too Rav will say it doesn't apply by Damim. I mean, Eno Chanami, it's Nitkadesh to be the Mizbeach for Evarim and for being Hakrava, but it's still not good enough for the Hazot Adam. Hazot Adam we want you to do on the real Mizbeach. And therefore here, by the Pesach also, when they scoop it up in the cup, the Mitzvah Menuvcha, the best way you want to do it is to do it on the Mizbeach itself. And that's what we were quoting earlier. That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda that was quoted earlier, that the Gemara has been working its way through until it reached this point in time. So now Rabbi Elazar is going to make a statement which will carry us through the rest of the remainder of today's daf and into tomorrow's daf, which is, Mizbeach shenifgam, ein ochlim begino sherei mincha. The Mizbeach somehow got damaged and is now out of service. You cannot eat any longer in its stead or because of it, sherei mincha, the leftovers of mincha. Meaning that kodshei kodashim, at least in the mincha sense, are not allowed to be eaten when the mizbeach is not in service, shenemar, because it says by the menachot, v'achlu ha-matzot etzel ha-mizbeach. You eat the matzot next to the mizbeach. V'chi etzel mizbeach? What do you mean they eat them against the mizbeach? Al bezman shu shalem, v'lo zman shu chaser. That's what it comes to teach you. Achlu ha-matzot etzel ha-mizbeach means when the mizbeach is in service, then you can eat the matzot, you can eat the lechem, that was from the karbonot. But if the mizbeach is not in service, is not working, blows manchu chaser. Now when it's missing, ashkechan sharei mincha. The Gemara says, okay, I understand now that about sharei mincha, that's the case. Kodshim kodashim inolan. How do I know this applies to all kodshim? That any, if the mizbeach was out of service, then all kodshim kodashim are now considered to be pasol or yotze. Tamalomar kodesh kodashim. It says kodesh kodashim. It says that by the menachot. It says it also by the karbonot that are kodesh kodashim. And therefore, anything that's kodesh kodashim will have the same din as the mincha. And that means that once the mizbeach is nifkam or out of service, it's problematic. Kodesh kalim. What about kodesh kalim? What's the din there? Minayin. Amar baye acha midrasha de Rabbi Yosi. We actually learn it out from the drasha of Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya Rabbi Yosi omer gimel dvarim mishum gimel zakeinim. He said over three things from three zakeinim. Vizei achad meim, and this is one of them, the one that's relevant to us, which is Rabbi Shmuel omer yochol yale adam maser sheni d'Yerushalayim v'yochlo b'chlenu b'mizman hazeh. You would think that a person has to bring his maser sheni today, even though Yerushalayim is destroyed, but you still. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim still exists. So maybe you should take up your Maaser Sheni and eat it in Yerushalayim. Bidinu. We have a Kal v'chomer. Bechor ta'un avat makom. U'maser ta'un avat makom. The Bechor has to be brought up to Yerushalayim, and so does the Maaser. Ma Bechor einu elu b'fnei abayit. Just like Bechor is only when there's a Beit HaMikdash standing. Av Maaser einu b'fnei abayit. So too Maaser will only be the case when the Beit is standing. Otherwise, you don't bring up Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim. What the Gemara says, how can you compare them? Ma le Bechor shekein ta'un matan damim ve'murim. Then about the Bechor, he has to something that ends up in the Mizbeach. Of course, when the Mikdash is there, you can't do that. So that's why it's problematic. But what are you going to do about Maser? Maser Sheini can be brought to Yerushalayim. It doesn't have anything to do with the Mikdash and the Mizbeach. You can just eat in Yerushalayim. So maybe that would be the case. Bikurim yochichu. The Bikurim will prove it to you. Mala Bikurim. Bikurim, even though they're not put on the Mizbeach, nevertheless, even after the destruction of the Mikdash, we don't bring the Bikurim up to Yerushalayim. Where it says, Mala Bikurim, shekein tonim hanacha. The Bikurim still require hanacha, placement by the Mizbeach, or placing down next to the Mizbeach. So if that's the case, they do have some requirement to Mizbeach, and that's why they would be suspended, or that's why they would not be practiced when there is no Beit HaMikdash. Where it says, finally, Tamalomer Veitim Shamalotechem. The Pasuk continues to mention Bekorot Sanchem, and mentions Maaser in the Pasuk. So there's a hekesh between Bechor and Maaser. Mekish Maaser the Bechor. Ma Bechor Eino L'Bifnei Abayit. Just like Bechor is not only when the Beit HaMikdash is around, Av Maaser, also by Maaser, Eino L'Bifnei Abayit. Then it would also only be when the Beis HaMikdash is around. Where it says, V'neder dina v'neiti b'mayatzad. Why are you using the Pasuk limit? Why don't you use a mayatzad? True, you couldn't learn it out of Bechor alone. And you couldn't learn it out of Bikurim alone. But maybe Bikurim and Bechor together could teach us about Maaser. You could break that up, that logic up. There's a common denominator between Bechor and Bikurim. They both require in some way the Mizbeach. The Bechor to get the Damim and the Mizbeach. And the Bikurim to do the Anacha etzel HaMizbeach. So if that's the case, you couldn't learn out from Bechor and Bikurim to Maaser. And that's why I need the Pasuk, the Hekesh and the Pasuk, to teach me that Maaser has the same din as the Bechor. And just like the Bechor is suspended, we don't do the mitzvah of Bechor when there is no Mikdash. So too over here, by Maaser Sheni, we won't bring it up to Yerushalayim and eat it when there is no Beit HaMikdash. Gemara wants to know now, Micah Savar, what is this Tana hold? I mean, that where does he come up with the opinion that, first of all, Bechor is obvious to him, and whatever's obvious about the Bechor is not obvious about Maaser, and therefore have to learn out Maaser from Bechor. Ika Savar, Kedusha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Kitcha L'Tedavo, if he believes that the first Kedusha of Yerushalayim was a permanent Kedusha and never leaves, Afilu bechor nami, then also by a bechor. And you should also have to bring the bechor to the mikdash and bring it. Why? Rashi brings an equation for us. He says afilu bechor yakriv yochal. A bechor should be brought in and eat him. Daha man de it kedusha latid davo it leishimakrivim afal bishen bayit. Because according to the opinion who says that the kedusha rishona of Yerushalayim was permanent, also believes that you can be makriv karbanot even though there's no beit hamikdash around. So if he believes that kedusha rishona was permanent, then why can't you bring the bechor on the mizbeach? Should be able to bring the bechor. What's the question here? Ikas ever lo kidsha latid davo. If he believes that the kedusha rishona was not permanent, afilu bechor nami tibay. And why don't we have a question? The same question about maser whether you should bring it when Yerushalayim is not there. Let's ask that same question about the bechor. So Amar Ravina lolo kasavar lo kidsha. Ravina says no. He believes there was no kedusha, no permanent kedusha after the first consecration of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. V'achol ma'eskinan bebechor shenizrak damo kodem chubran abayit. Talking about a bechor whose dam was already put on the mizbeach before chubran abayit. V'charav abayit, and the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. V'adayin b'sarok hayam, and the meat is still there, and you want to eat it in Yerushalayim. He wants to finish up eating the korban inside of Yerushalayim. The matan dam is dam. He has the basar left over. He wants to eat it in Yerushalayim. The Gemara says itkish b'sarok damo. Mishmael says there's a hekesh between basar and the dam, because the pasuk in Bamidbar Yudchet by Korach says vet damam tisrok vet chalbam taktir ubisaram yelacha. So there we've seen this pasuk before because of the plural that's used in the Neres Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi Aglili about what the plural means. Does it mean the multiple chorod mentioned here, or does it come to include the maaser and the pesach? But that hekesh between the basar and the dam teaches me ma damo b'mizbeach abseru b'mizbeach. Just like the dam requires mizbeach, so too the consumption of the basar of the kodshim require ability to have matnot dam done on the mizbeach. You need a mizbeach around in order to eat the basar. Vati maser b'yalif from bechor, and that's why afterwards we learn a maser from bechor. We have a pasuk to tell us about bechor, and then we have maser that's learned out from bechor. Wait a minute, we're in kodshim now. How do you know about the fact that basar cannot be consumed? You know, basar can't be consumed because there's a hekesh to dam. And now what do you want to do? You want to apply it to maser? Well, maser, that's a second hekesh. You have a hekesh because maser sheni is being learnt out of bechor. And even in bechor, basar is being learned out of the dam, so it's a double hekesh. The Gemara says, well, we have this answer that we've mentioned before. Maser degan chulinu. When it comes to maser sheni, that's a din in chulin. By chulin, there is a din of lamed hekesh min hekesh. Where it says ani chalaman damar bate lamed azlinan. That goes well according to the one who says that we go after the one who's being learnt about. Here, maser is the recipient of the limud. So therefore, there, it says he's the recipient of the limud. That's what dictates whether this is chulin and kodshim. So since it's the recipient, therefore it dictates that the whole hekesh is chulin, and that's why it's not a problem. Alaman damar bate lamed azlinan. We go after what's teaching. Over here, the Bechor is what's teaching, the Dam and the Basar teaching, that's in Kodesh. So then, Ma'ik on the Meimar, according to that opinion, that doesn't make it Chulin, and there's a problem of Hekesh Hekesh, what are you going to say? Dam and Basar, Chada Miltihi. Dam and Basar are not really two separate entities. The Dam and the Basar are a single entity. They break down, we divide them up in terms of what is done to them and how they are placed on the Mizbeach and what they're consumed, but they're really considered to be a single entity. So when I have the limud about Dam and Basar, that doesn't say I have a Hekesh that teaches me from Dam to Basar. It means that Dam and Basar have the same rules and the same dinim. And just like Dam, when there's no Mizbeach, can't be done, Basar, when there's no Mizbeach, cannot be consumed. The way that we have the Girsa and the Gemara over here, the conclusion of the Gemara is Amar Ravina Lolom Kasavar Lo Kidsha, that the Yerushalayim was not Kidsha Latid Lavo, it wasn't a permanent Kedusha that was in Yerushalayim. Tosos takes issue with this. Why did Ravina come to a conclusion that is against Rove of the Shas and Rove of the opinions in the Shas, where we do say that Yerushalayim was Kidsha, Kidsha Rishona, Latid Lavo, that the Kedusha the first time in Yerushalayim was a permanent type of Kedusha? So why would you have Ravina coming to the opposite conclusion? Tosus over here also speaks about the issue of separating between Kedushat HaAretz and Kedushat HaMikdash. Previously, Rashi mentions, and this is true of Rashi in other places in Shas, Rashi connects between Kedushat HaAretz and Kedushat HaMikdash. He says, therefore, the one who believes that Kedushat HaAretz was permanent also believes Kedushat HaMikdash is permanent, and also believes that you can be makrivim afal pi she'ein bayit. And then you can see in the Rashi here on the Rashi that mentions over here, Kasavak Kedusha Rishona shall buy it, Kitcha the Shait of Kshila to the Voki, Heichi, the Sphere Lebe Kedusha Taretz, the same way he holds by Kedusha Taretz. So Rashi correlates, connects between the two. Tosus over here, like in other places, mentions that you can separate between the two. He says that it's possible that Yerushalayim's Kedusha would be Nitbatla, but Kedusha HaAretz would remain. That the Kedusha HaAretz, Kedusha Kidsha HaRishona, Kidsha HaAtid Lavo, that was a permanent Kedusha, and that would be there forever. And that's why you can have, in this instance, Maaser Sheni. The only way you could have Meisr that'd be Chayav Midoraisa if the Kedusha of the Arch still existed. But then the Kedusha at Yushalayim would be Nitbatla. This is the opposite of the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam believes just the opposite, that Yushalayim's Kedusha was Kedusha Rishona Kedusha Latidavo, whereas Kedusha Taharet only happened in the second Bayit, in the time that Ezra comes back. That's when they have Kedusha Taharet. It's a nice piece by Rav Soloveitchik I've passed out in the past about this sugya. In addition, Tosus towards the end brings down a shita very similar to the Rambam. Brings down a shita that says maybe you could argue that Kedusha Yushalayim was permanent the first time, Kedusha Taharet wasn't. And then Tosus says that's absurd. You'd come up with a situation where even though there's no Beit HaMikdash, you could be makriv karbonot, you could put up a mizbeach and do whatever you have to do, and yet truma would only be midrabanan. So in the end, he's very reluctant and reticent to support such a position. But what Tosfos does that Rashi is not willing to do is separate between Kedushat HaAretz and Kedushat Yerushalayim. Rashi seems to put them together in one package. The Tosfos separates between them. Now he leans heavily towards favoring Kedushat HaAretz being permanent from the first time versus Kedushat HaBayit. On the other hand, we have the Rambam, who has the opposite opinion that Kedushat Yerushalayim is permanent from the first time, whereas Kedushat HaAretz only is permanent from the second time. Tosfos entertains such a possibility and then rejects it in the end. Nevertheless, Tosfos' girsa in our Gemara is that Amir Ravina Lolam Kasabar Kidsha, that Yerushalayim was Nitkadesh Latidavo, and not Lo Kidsha. And then V'hacha Mayaskina, and we're talking about a Bechor, Shenizrak Tamo Kodem Echorban Abayit V'charav Abayit. We know the problem by Bechor is the problem of Mizbeach. So we say, oh, we took care of the problem Mizbeach because we already had it being brought beforehand. Then the Gemara says, well, it doesn't matter because there's a requirement by Bechor that even the Achilat Basar requires Mizbeach. And when there's no Mizbeach, even if you say the Kedusha is Latid Lavo in Yerushalayim, that's not going to help you because there's still a second or an additional requirement of Mizbeach. And that will be passed along to Maaser as well. And that requirement of Mizbeach necessitates a Mizbeach in order to be Chayav on all these things or all of these items, even though the Kedusha Yerushalayim is still extant, and you could build a Mizbeach there even without the Mikdash. Nevertheless, without the Mizbeach, it can't happen. And that's the answer of the Gemara. That's the flow of the Gemara according to the Tosafot. Tosfos also points out over here that irrespective of whether you think that Kedusha Yerushalayim was permanent at the first time was Nitkadesh, he says that Bamot or Nesrot after Yerushalayim. Once you hit the time that Yerushalayim was up and running, Bamot after the destruction of Yerushalayim are Asurot. The only question that is available here, whether it's Kedusha Latid Lavo or not, is whether you can be Makriv there even though there's no Bayit, whether you can set up a Mizbeach. That's the only question at hand, not the question of the Heter Bamot starts again. That everybody agrees that Bamot are over once we hit Yerushalayim.